Chris, in your book, you do talk about your own journey, your journey from that sort of real hardcore skepticism.
I started off as a believer, of course. Yes. I started off over here and then went here and then came back towards the kind of middle ground.
Yes, and so you then became born again, hardcore, and now you're a bit more forgiving.
I would say that I'm a kind of a bit more moderate in my approach. I mean, for me, a very important part of skepticism is to always acknowledge that you might be wrong. You might believe what you believe now on the basis of what you see as being the best available evidence and, fine. But it's okay to change your mind about things that, it might turn out that new evidence will come along that will make you change your mind. And if that happens, well, swallow it, get on with it. I don't think the skeptics have got complete, definitive, conclusive counter-explanations for every single paranormal claim that's out there. I mean, we couldn't even hope to for most of these kind of claims. They're anecdotal. They're things that people say, well, this happened to me. Well, you weren't there at the time. Nobody was recording it objectively. There's nothing much you can do. Other you either accept their word or, in line with kind of David Hume's philosophy when he writes about, I think it's a very powerful argument. In those situations, you should only accept the claim if the evidence for the claim outweighs any evidence against the claim. Now, in practice, there's very little evidence for the suspension of the laws of physics, okay, as we currently understand them. There's lots of evidence that sometimes people get things wrong and sometimes they just make stuff up. And so on that basis of that argument, you should never actually accept this kind of testimony that's coming in from somebody who's saying, well, I experienced this, I saw this. They're describing a miracle or a paranormal phenomenon. Doesn't mean to say that it didn't happen. It just means that the rational thing to do is to not accept that it happened until you've got some better evidence that it did.
Mm. Oh, okay. That throws all my dreams into the trash can.
So that's my job.
Because I will often, you have a dream and you'll dream of someone and then you get a phone call from them the next day. Or, the thing of, I was just thinking about you and you picked it and the phone rang and it was you.
Well, this is it. I mean, now...
That must be something in that.
Well, some people would argue that there is. The sceptical kind of counter-explanation is basically, well, a couple of things. One is just the nature of coincidence. By the laws of chance, you think about the number of people that you think about in a day, and their names go through your head, and either the phone doesn't ring or the phone rings and it's someone else. But that's a non-event. You don't even notice it. If the phone rings and it's that person you're just thinking of, and particularly if it's somebody that you've not thought of for a long time, then, ooh, spooky. Yeah, some kind of psychic link here. Well, on the one hand, you'd expect that to happen inevitably from time to time just on the laws of probability, that what mathematicians would call the law of truly large numbers. But there's also the possibility that there's some kind of third factor, a hidden cause there that you've not considered. I mean, I often give a hypothetical example of supposing that happened to you, and you and your friend were both amazed that this had just happened. But what you've both forgotten by then was that there was a news story on the news the previous evening about some aging rock star who'd been rushed into hospital. And you know this friend from college days, and you used to go and watch this guy, and you're real fans. And that's got you thinking about those good old days. You're still wallowing in that nostalgic feeling the next day, but you've forgotten what triggered it. Yeah. And your friend's been meaning to get in touch with you for ages, just like you've been meaning to get in touch with your friend for ages. And he's the one who's actually got around to picking up the phone and doing it, But so that kind of, that kind of thing can happen. Yeah, I am the shatterer of dreams, don't I?